This is Wade Rathke. It's Wade's World. You know what that means. Friday morning, 9 o'clock. We're here from 9 to 9:30 on KABF, FM 88.3. www.kbf.org. The voice of the people, 100,000 watts of people power in Arkansas. There's a lot of things happening in Arkansas, and one of them, we don't like to talk about it much, and we don't talk it perhaps as much as we need to, is how many chickens. We are a big factor in the poultry industry, particularly when it comes to Tyson's Food. There's a lot happening in Northwest Arkansas, and I'm lucky today to be interviewing one of them. As always with Wade's World, we interview the most interesting people in the world. And today, it's Ann Janks, who's the Poultry Justice Organizer for the Interfaith Worker Justice Operation, which has been important in many of these fights. And welcome to Wade's World.
Thank you so much, Wade.
So, poultry workers, I saw a little note, and this is how I tracked you down, that the Northwest, folks in the Northwest with IWJ were trying to have a spring break where they were surveying the conditions, working conditions for poultry workers all over Northwest Arkansas. So that sounds important. What's going on?
Well, there's a worker center in Northwest Arkansas, kind of in the belly of the beast. Tyson's headquarters are in Northwest Arkansas. And there are poultry plants really throughout Arkansas, mainly chicken. And they are going to be interviewing poultry workers to be able to talk very specifically with data of the conditions that poultry workers in Arkansas are facing all throughout Arkansas. They're going to interview poultry, everybody involved really in the poultry industry. They're going to interview managers, poultry workers who are processing chickens, and to kind of find out some very specific information about what's going on right now in poultry throughout the state.
Now, a lot of this workforce is Latino, right? Recent immigrants?
It is. It's changed, I'd say, starting about 20 years ago, or maybe a little bit more than that. The poultry companies started aggressively recruiting immigrant workers, which was largely Latino, Central American, and Mexican, to come into the plants. They were replacing the white and the African-American workers who'd been doing the work for up until that point. But, you know, they very aggressively recruited. So it kind of depends on the plant. Interestingly, what's happened more recently is they've started recruiting refugees as well. And so in certain plants, you'll see groups of refugees.
Well,
in Northwest Arkansas.
Go ahead.
Sorry. In Northwest Arkansas, there are a lot of workers from the Marshall Islands.
Is that right? Fascinating.
Yep.
But you do hear a lot about the Hispanic population having increased dramatically over the last 20 years in Northwest Arkansas, partially because of the recruiting of Tyson. I remember my surprise at listening. There was a guy named Archie Schaefer, who was a nephew of former Senator and Governor Dale Bumpers, who all of a sudden, not this time, but a couple of immigration reform fights ago, suddenly speaking for Tyson in Arkansas, said, you know what, we really need immigration reform so we can bring more workers up. So they were very upfront about their interest. Now, these aren't minimum wage jobs, but they're not that well paid, are they, Ann?
They're very close to minimum wage. And by the time you factor in the wage theft, if they pay more than minimum wage, they steal it back again.
Is it a piece rate system, or is it straight wage plus piece rate, or?
No, it's generally not piece rate, because it's a factory, right? There are chickens that are hung at the beginning of the process on the line, and that line runs through the factory. So you're standing there doing whatever piece of work that you're going to do to process chicken.
Gotcha. But it's dangerous work, too, isn't it?
It's very, very dangerous.
I mean, there's a lot of injuries, aren't there? A lot of cuts and...
Yes. I'd say that the injuries fall into two major groups. The first is kind of the acute injuries, the cuts, the falls, you know. You have to appreciate how fast the work is happening. And
this is an assembly line. This is Detroit kind of action right up in the hills. It's moving. There's thousands and thousands of chickens going through all the time. Yeah.
Yes. And I'd say the major difference between the chicken factories in Detroit is that many of the workers don't have a union. They don't have a voice, and they don't have any way to slow down or, frankly, even go to the bathroom. There's no relief from the speed. So you have acute injuries, right, your cuts and chemical exposure, especially for the people on third shift sanitation, falls, things like that. But then you have repetitive motion injuries because virtually nothing is done to remediate the fact that you're doing the same motion over and over and over again for 8 hours or more a day. And so you get carpal tunnel and those types of repetitive motion injuries. And indications are that just under 50% of workers have signs of repetitive motion injuries.
And that's a huge percentage, isn't it, Ann?
Massive. And you're talking about injuries that aren't going to go away.
No, that's a lifetime sentence, isn't it?
In
exchange for $8 or $9 an hour.
Well, but it's worse because they should be getting some protection from workers' compensation. If you're injured at work, then you both should get treatment under the workers' comp system. And if it's a permanent injury, then you should get protection so that you can't be fired. And if you can't do the work anymore, you should get help either to train you for another type of job or to pay you something since you're unable to work. And what happens in the poultry plants, and this is part of what the survey is going to be looking for, is in the poultry plants, there is a real focus on not reporting those injuries.
Mm-hmm.
And what we're very interested in understanding in the survey is kind of company by company what that looks like, because it's totally to the advantage of the company to underreport injuries. It means that their workers' comp rate is lower, just like with insurance, right? Every time you have a car accident, you're in
car
insurance.
That's exactly right. It's experiential rate. And, this is ironic because at one point, believe it or not, Arkansas had one of the better workman's compensation benefit programs in the country. We're going back several decades, but thanks to Walmart and Tyson and others, we're down once again at the bottom of the pack. So I'm sure it's harder to get the amount, and the amount that you can get, even if you get workers' compensation, is so much lower than it used to be. Talk to me about wage theft. I mean, that's been a signature issue for interfaith workers' justice groups all over the country, and wage theft is also common in the poultry industry?
It is. It has several different forms, but essentially it's ensuring that people do not get paid for all of the hours that they worked.
How do they do that?
Well, there's many different ways. One is just undercounting the hours. I've spoken to many poultry workers who have said to me, I'll show you my pay stub. And
so that's just downright stealing right there.
Right, and the pay stub says, 32 hours on it. And they say to me, I worked 5 days. I didn't take any time off. You explain to me how it's only 32 hours. If I went in at 7 and I was there till 3:30 and I'd half an hour off for lunch.
Mm-hmm.
So it's either, undercounting hours. People are in some plants just kept on the line when they stop the line, but you have to keep working until all of the chickens on that line have been processed. But the moment that they stop hanging chickens at the beginning of the line, they say that you're not working. Or
even though you're fixed at your station.
Yeah. Or they make deductions that are inappropriate deductions. They overcharge you for supplies that you need to do your job.
Or they don't provide, I don't know how it works. I know in meat packing, there's a lot of knives and whatever involved, but they must provide those, I'm sure, no?
Yeah, but they charge for them.
Really?
Not the knives, but they charge for the safety equipment. So So there's a special metal glove, chain link glove that you use in certain parts of the factory that protects you from cuts. But they charge for, you know, the hair nets and plastic gloves and all kinds of things, yeah.
So you're lucky if you get the apron and something to put on your feet, huh?
Yeah.
I assume they do provide, you know, some kind of footwear, no?
No.
Really? And that's outrageous because how could you do this job with, you know, you're 8 hours on your feet?
I mean, one of the things that's shocking is a lot of the accommodations that you could make to make this a job that people could do with dignity is very, very simple. The Arkansas Worker Justice just did a whole 5-minute video of workers talking about needing to go to the bathroom and being told that they had to stay on the line because they don't provide relief workers. And, you know, they're adult men talking about soiling themselves at work because their employer won't let them go to the bathroom.
Is the workforce mainly men, mainly women, pretty mixed up? What is it, Ann?
We're very interested in seeing what we find out now because, it does shift over time. When they started recruiting the immigrant workforce many years ago, it was largely male, young men. But that's really shifted, and we're very interested in seeing what we're going to see throughout Arkansas in terms of some of those shifts. It's a hard place to be a woman.
I bet that's true. Of course, that's often true almost everywhere. We're talking to Ann Jenks, who's the National Poultry Justice Organizer for Interfaith Worker Justice, a Chicago-based nonprofit which has been active in as an advocate and organizer around labor issues all over the country for many years. And, Ann, you were telling me that the Arkansas Worker Justice Center located in Fayetteville is one of the is a very active center and one of your more active, and that the director, is director or co-director, Ann Aguayo?
Ann Aguayo. She's the co-director of the other, yes.
And that program has been in the Fayetteville Northwest area. How long, do you know?
9 years.
So they've put together quite a record, I'm sure.
They have, and they're working with the University of Arkansas on this survey, and they've really done a lot in terms of engaging with the poultry workers, and the poultry workers really help to decide the direction of the worker center and the issues that they work on.
So have they gotten a lot of response on their call for help at the spring break? Because it's still kind of nippy, but spring's right around the corner, you can tell. Have you heard how they're doing?
Yes, they've. They have a lot of students. They have a lot of Arkansas students who have been helping with the survey. The survey started in January, and they've been helping with the survey both in terms of interviewing workers and doing local outreach to local community leaders. Explaining what the purpose is of the survey so that people, especially in the immigrant community, will be willing to participate in it. So the Arkansas students are deeply involved with the survey, and the students that come from other areas will just kind of be helping during their spring break.
Well, the nice thing about this show is we're live stream. We're also on podcast, and it's 100,000 watts. So if there are people, students or non-students, who want to help and participate in this poultry survey, and if there's still a need for help, how would they connect with y'all, Ann?
They could email me at ajanks@iwj.org. Or they could just go to IWJ's website and send a message that way.
We're going to repeat that several times, but that's IWJ.org, www.iwj.org is the overall website. And not surprisingly, Ann Jenks' email is ajenks, JANKS at IWJ.org, and she's willing to route any people who might be interested in learning more about the conditions for poultry workers who'd like to lend a hand. Now, one thing I should mention, Anne, a couple of weeks ago we talked to people who are involved in a huge hog farm operation that is related to ConAgra and starting to pollute parts of the Buffalo River Basin up in northwest Arkansas. And one of the problems they were having is that a study being done by the University of Arkansas for the ConAgra contractor was going on people's land that they didn't have permission to go on. I mean, just an embarrassing situation for the University of Arkansas team. So you've got a good group working with you, though, huh?
Yes. Yes. They've really been quite excellent. One other thing that I wanted to mention that's very interesting that's happening in poultry right now is that what has brought a lot of people who have been involved in poultry from time to time together right now is that the USDA has a new rule that they're trying very, very hard to implement. And they call it the Poultry Modernization Rule. But what it does is it reduces the number of USDA inspectors who are inside the factory inspecting the chickens as they're being processed and replaces them with company employees.
That can't be good.
No requirement for training, and increases the production speed. The real reason they want to eliminate the inspectors is so that they can increase the production speed. And then all of the chickens will be doused in an antimicrobial wash based on the presumption that they probably have contaminants on them because they were going so fast and they weren't inspected. It's basically when you gut a chicken, you really want to get the guts out without it getting on the meat.
Sure.
So you don't have fecal matter and bile on the chicken. And so it's going to increase the chemical exposure for the workers. It's also going to increase the amount of chemicals that consumers are
absolutely.
Are
yeah, sure.
And so it's an issue that has really brought together a very broad coalition of groups from the animal rights groups who are concerned when you increase the production speed, more chickens are killed the wrong way, and it tends to be more painful for the chicken if you're not killed the right way. Environmental and food safety groups that are concerned that assuming that there will be contaminants and just dunking it in a bleach-based wash isn't as good as preventing the contaminants in the first place. And the workers are concerned. The line speed is incredibly fast already, and giving companies permission to speed it up even further is likely to increase injury rates among the workers.
Well, and you just wonder, so what is a poor company person supposed to do if they're theoretically the inspector? If they see something wrong, that's their job. And, 10 years later, maybe they'll get a couple of dollars in a whistleblower dispute. But how can anyone really pretend that a company can inspect itself? That sort of contradicts the whole notion of what we expect out of the government, doesn't it, Anne?
It really does. It really does. But the USDA has been very forcefully pushing the issue. Anybody who is interested in eating chicken ever again could call the White House and ask the administration to not implement this rule. It's called the USDA Modernization Rule. We've been calling it the Dirty Chicken Rule.
And the USDA is already having problems because they've pretty much conceded they don't have enough inspectors for meat. They haven't trained enough for meat. There was recently news reports in the Journal and the Times and everywhere else that there were concerns about the summer and what we might have in meat contamination because there were not enough USDA inspectors. I guess the next thing we're going to see on the meat side is all the meat companies can inspect their own meat, and it'll be just like China or something, I am.
Well, that's exactly it. They're starting in chicken, and they'll move to beef and to pork with the same, quote, modernization.
Well, it sounds like that's something that everybody needs to do, and that's contact the White House. And once again, Ann Janks is the National Poultry Justice Organizer for Interfaith Worker Justice. Has already mentioned the website, but it's www.iwj.org, and I'm sure Justice, if you want to help out on their survey of poultry workers throughout Northwest Arkansas, if you want to pick up the phone or send an email to the White House and tell them, you know, the whole point of the USDA is to inspect, not to figure out a way to let the companies browbeat them into stopping inspections. I'm sure IWJ.org is another way that you can get there, isn't it, Ann?
Yes.
Now, you were telling me as well about the Food Chain Workers Alliance and the important work that IWJ, as well as the Arkansas Worker Justice Center, is doing in the Food Chain Worker Alliance. Well, now, what is that?
The Food Chain Worker Alliance is a fairly new organization came about from some people who were doing work with restaurant workers, and then started to talk about, you know, looking at all of the workers that are on that are involved in bringing food kind of from the field to the table, right? Either a restaurant table or your dining room table. And just looking at all of those workers, because really it's a group of workers that is still U.S.-based and overwhelmingly low-paid and have a lot of similar issues. And as corporations have gotten larger, there's been some expansion in terms of corporations from one piece of the food chain to more than one. And so they're starting to just look at the whole process. And so the Arkansas, Northwest Arkansas Poultry Worker Justice Center got involved because of they were interested in finding out more about the workers who were in the factories processing food.
Now, if you look on the Food Worker Alliance site, they talk about the recent, at least small advances with the Immokalee workers and Walmart. Certainly Walmart's another one of our big Northwest Arkansas exports. But are we really making much progress around those issues, you think?
I think it's a very exciting time. I think that, I talk to students who are very engaged with these issues, and in a way that I didn't used to see. I think that workers are starting to talk to other workers in other and related industries in a very interesting way. There's a new push to actually understand how the industry impacts the community, in ways like when you have injured workers who never received the right medical care for an injury because they were never reported as having been injured at work and they're now permanently disabled. What impact does that have on the community? And so people are starting to look at a lot of these linkages, and it's a very exciting time.
Well, I think, I'm wondering if the Food Chain Workers Alliance is also a project that's getting support from Change to Win. I noticed the warehouse workers are a key part of this, and it's out of Los Angeles. Is that part of where the inspiration is coming?
I don't know specifically. I know that the United Food and Commercial Workers, who represent some poultry workers and a lot of beef and pork workers, are involved in the Food Chain Workers. I don't know specifically about.
Well, they are the key people in the warehouse thing as well. So, how did you get into poultry? Have you been organizing around poultry workers' justice for a while, Ann?
On and off. I worked on an effort 20 years ago to go and do some organizing in poultry plants in the South. which was started by an organizer with Unite, who had organized textiles in the South and had seen conditions for poultry workers, a guy named Ernest Bennett.
Who's legendary in these drives. I worked closely with Dave Kiefer, who was part of that team as well. Do you know Dave?
Yes, yes. And
many great stories.
Yes, yes. And, you know, Ernest knew that poultry workers needed to be organized so that they could have a voice and they could have a contract that would protect them. And unfortunately, as happens from time to time in the labor movement, some external forces conspired against the campaign. But I kind of I found the work to be very compelling. So whenever there's an effort in poultry that I can support, I try to figure out how to get back and involved with poultry.
Well, you must be on the road, because I know IWJ has been involved in projects on Chesapeake Bay in the Chesapeake area of Maryland around poultry for a long time, and sort of hopscotching around the country, haven't they?
Yes, yes. I mean, IWJ, actually, it's how I got to know IWJ, was that when they were first forming as a national organization, they were supporting the poultry organizing that was happening 20 years ago, and that's how I got to know IWJ. They and they continue to support poultry organizing or any efforts in poultry. They also have a network of worker centers that they support nationally, and the Northwest Arkansas Worker Justice Center is one of them, because they were very interested in supporting and expanding the concept of worker centers and workers being directly involved in figuring out how to improve their own conditions.
The one thing I promised, Dan, is that I wouldn't ask any questions about numbers, but this is a big industry, isn't it?
It's a very big industry.
So we're talking not about tens of thousands. We're talking about hundreds of thousands of workers that are really involved in this industry, aren't we?
Yes. It is upwards of 200,000 workers.
And you see, I didn't make you say that. You said this. Ann, I didn't mention, is in Oakland, California. So it's, you know, it'll be dawn soon there. And but this has been Ann Jenks, who's the National Poultry Justice Organizer for the Interfaith Workers Justice Center. This has been one of their top priorities for, IWJ must be close to 20 years old now, right? Or is that?
It is.
Kim Bobo has been the director and sort of shining light there, but their commitment to poultry work has been consistent. There's two things that we've talked about among many that Ann and IWJ and our own Northwest Arkansas Workers Center would really like listeners to do. One is, if you have some time and interest in what the real situation for workers, poultry workers, is, they could always use an extra hand on this statewide survey they're doing, which has been going on since January, didn't you say, Ann?
Yes.
And she's mentioned that how you can get involved is to reach out directly to her, and she'll hook you up with the Arkansas people. Her email, her name is Ann Jenks, so not surprisingly, it's A-J-A-N-K-S, A-Jenks, at IWJ.org, or go directly to the website, www.IWJ.org, and you'll see a mention of the poultry campaign, and you'll be able to just follow it from there. The other thing that Ann has said is, hey, call the White House, Ann.
Yes, please. Call the White House and tell them not to implement the USDA rule to eliminate inspectors inside the chicken factories. It's bad for workers and it's bad for people who eat chicken.
So they may call it modernization at the USDA, but it seems to be sort of the worst of turning the job of protecting consumers all around the country over to the companies themselves. It's a shame to see our own Arkansas multinational Tyson's so big and important in this. This has been Wade's World. We've been talking to Ann Jenks, the National Poultry Justice Organizer for the Interfaith Worker Justice Center, about the great projects they have. We'll be back to them once they have some results for this. We're on every Friday, Wade's World, from 9 to 9:30, and we talk to the most interesting people in the world. This is Wage World at KABF 88.3, www.kabf.org, 100,000 watts, voice of the people. We'll see you again next Friday. Thank you.